Without further ado, Jeff Wilson. Are you there, my friend?
Hello, Sean. How are you doing today, sir?
Oh, buddy, I'm doing great now that I'm talking to you on the phone. How you been?
Well, I wish you were here because I'm talking to you, well, live, and I'm in person in Olympia. And the good news is, Sean, everybody is here in Olympia except you. We're open this year, wide open, an in-person session.
Well, hey, man, if I get the time, I appreciate the invitation. If I get the time, I'll cruise on up there, and we'll get the house rocking. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. You're always welcome, and anybody else that's listening and those that even aren't listening, it is an open house. Your government's open.
Excellent. Excellent. That's what we want to hear. So, hey, Jeff, man, I appreciate you. I know you're super busy, especially in the second week of the legislative session being now in full operation mode. How's things going up there?
Things are going surprisingly well. It's funny how we stay apart from each other, and we learn that environment, but the environment now is back to dealing with each other as people, as the differences of opinions. It's something surreal to be back in person. It's my first time in 3 years, and I've been very, very happy to report that I like the way things are going. We're taking the issues head on, no ducking and avoiding on TV screens or telling somebody you have a bad connection or you're on mute. The reality is we're acting as the government should be, and I'm very proud of that. I've been very active with several bills and co-sponsorships this year so far.
Yeah, I bet you it was kind of odd, you know, going through the whole 2020-21 session. And I mean, for crying out loud. So it's kind of like a kid, first day in kindergarten class, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, hey, man, the governor's state of the state address, did you catch that?
I certainly was. I was present and heard it all. And, you know, the governor had a lot of topics that needed to be discussed. You know, whether we, you know, agreed to the discussion points is one thing. But, you know, it's part of the process. It's the executive branch. They they have to come out with an opinion. They affect policy and have budgets. And, you know, Sean, this is a long session. This is much more than just regular bills and legislative duties. We have budgetary duties. We have budgets to pass this year. So the long session comes with a whole bunch of responsibilities that highlight. And the governor points out a lot of issues that he would like to see done. Mm-hmm. And now it's our turn.
How many days?
105 days, but I think we're down to, say, 94 or so, but who's counting? the boat's left the dock, Sean, so we're on board for this session. We're in full swing. In fact, I stand and talking to your audience and you now outside of a particular building here in Olympia as a transportation committee will be awaiting me to make an appearance. And I tell you, this is one of four committees I'm on. Working in a minority at times means you kind of have to work a little harder, or so I'd like to offer. And so I have, I am on the housing committee, human services, transportation, and I'm making a repeat performance as the ranking member for the state government and elections committee. So my plate is full on behalf of the 19th district.
Yeah, I tell you what, Jeff, we super appreciate your dedication to us all down here and being our voice up there. So what's your top priority?
Well, top priority is kind of proceeding on with things we may not have given the quality approach the last couple of years. Remember, when you're not in person, it seems that we did a lot of legislative activities now that we need to go back and redo. We need another discussion on police pursuits. Obviously, gun legislation is thrown at us.
Right.
You know, we gotta talk about some things called the Blake decision. And talking about it isn't going to matter very much this year. We have to make some adjustments to the Shannon Blake court case decision that's plaguing us with Schedule I drug use and the lack of consequences, the lack of getting people into meaningful treatment, Sean. So, and if we don't address this and we just talk about it this year, that comes with a consequence. We're faced with really no consequences in July and June area of 2023. We're in a position I don't think the state's ready for. So, you know, we got a lot of people in need, a lot of people are hurting, and drugs should be talked about. There's a certain amount of drugs that, of course, is adding to the number one cause of death under the age of 60 is drug overdose. Whether you're homeless, you have homes or not, this is an issue that affects everybody. And man, we need to pay some serious attention to it, Sean.
So that Blake decision, I mean, that has to do with, like, felony drug possession. Is unconstitutional? Is that my understanding?
Well, I don't believe it's unconstitutional. What we did was we tried to correct a Blake decision, and this was a case that dealt with a person that had a small amount of a trace drugs in their possession in the pants, and mm-hmm. the defense essentially was, well, those weren't my pants. Result of that, we've legislated so that Schedule I drugs essentially come with, say, three misdemeanor offenses. And so there's very little consequence of getting in trouble. But for those that need to be intercepted, Sean, mm-hmm. or directed to help or guidance or support, whether it's drug court or a treatment center or whatnot, you really can't force people to do that. And that's what the decision didn't fix. It didn't really say, God, we got a serious problem, and we want to help people, but we'll just give you a citation with the misdemeanor on it with no consequence. And this happens for a few times, and it really puts off a problem instead of dealing with it. We should be facing our problems head on rather than kicking the citation down the road.
Right, right. We can't do that no more. And I know that the governor, you know, his focus is on safety and security of the Washingtonians, as he states. And did he state anything in that state address about the blood alcohol content, that he wants to lower that from 0.08 to 0.05 to save lives?
Well, that's obviously in the form of a Senate bill that I am seeing on the Senate side, and I've received lots of comments on it. And again, to remind your listeners, Sean, please contact us. We work for you. Tell us yes, no, do, don't, stop, go. That's what we're here for, sir.
Yep. Yep.
And on this legislation, I'm getting it from a number of areas. I have a lot of supporters that want to lower the blood alcohol concentration to a certain limit, and others are saying, are you kidding me? So I'm getting a large spread of opinions on this. I haven't weighed in officially, and one of the reasons is I'm certainly not ducking the issue. The issue is it's currently not in any of my committees that I sit in on, and most likely I have to respect the system to see if it'll get through a committee. Naturally, it will be addressed if it gets to the floor or proceeds on, then we all will deal with it. But right now it's kind of in infancy, and, you know, the bill may progress, or it may get a funeral.
It may get a funeral. So one of your sponsored bills is the Senate bill, 5224. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, Jeff?
I hope you're talking about that, the Homeless Service Provider Efficiency or the Home Equity Program.
That is the Homeless Service Providers. Yes, I want to say yes. I don't have it actually in front of me, so that's why I was really hoping you could tell me and the listeners. They don't want to hear me talk.
5224 is, in fact, Sean, you were right. It is my homeless providers. It's like a service audit bill. And what it says is what the state auditor said. The state auditor came out with a nonpartisan report of 74 pages long that said, look, we spend a lot of money at homeless issue. Why don't we measure the performance standards? And why don't we collect standardized data from our lessons learned, and then we put a system in place that says, well, wait a minute, if we're not performing to reach our local goals that we set on a local level in our local homeless housing task force, if we don't reach those benchmarks, then, well, what are we going to do about it?
Exactly.
How do we correct it? And what if somebody goes awry and doesn't perform, and they consume tax dollars, should we not let them try to fix that problem, or should we cancel a contract?
Exactly.
The idea is we want to help people, but I know that the taxpayer needs to have transparent and effective accountability where all this money goes. It's not necessarily the old adage to just throw money at it. Let's get our money's worth on behalf of the people we're trying to help.
Oh, I
and
love
if we
that.
Can't meet those needs, then we better find some benchmarks to say how we're going to meet those needs. And the beauty of my bill says, not every community's the same, Sean.
Exactly.
We're all people. But some people may want to address their community and their homeless problems in a different way through the task force, which is, you know, appointed volunteers.
Jeff, hey, listen, on behalf of all of us down here, thank you so very much for your rocking and rolling for Couch County. Appreciate
it, Jeff. I'll talk to you later, Sean.
Thank you, sir. Bye now.